mom, Donnie, is practicing taqiyya.
1,000%. 1,000%. It's
he's presenting.
The Muslims are laughing at you guys. Like, this is the funniest thing. Like, dude, give it 50 more years. Entire New York's going to be Muslim. And then before you know it, it's going to be Sharia courts. And then, like, y'all are... It's like shooting yourself in the foot.
And I'll also say that it's Muslim money. The PACs that have supported Zahran, or a particular PAC that has supported Zahran, is probably over 80% of Muslim American donors in this country.
81%, so 81 of the mosques that he surveilled were in some way or other preaching jihadism and hatred of non-Muslims. And this is in the United States.
The 2011 study, Sharia and Violence in American Mosques, published in the Middle East Quarterly, surveyed 100 U.S. mosques selected proportionally by state Muslim population between 2007 and 2010, and found that 81% contained texts advocating or justifying violence in the name of Sharia or jihad, 51% calling for overthrowing non-Islamic governments, with 84.5% of imams recommending these materials during services. Counter studies claim U.S. mosques largely deter extremism and reject violence, rendering the 81% figure a provocative but unreliable indicator of widespread jihadism. Whatever the case may be, these studies need to be immediately replicated in the name of U.S. national security, because America has a history with Islamic extremism going back to its founding. Thomas Jefferson's 1786 meeting with Tripoli's ambassador revealed the Quranic justification for enslaving non-Muslims and seizing their ships, prompting his rejection of tribute payments that had consumed nearly 20% of U.S. federal revenue since 1784. As president in 1801, Jefferson responded to Tripoli's declaration of war with naval blockades and the First Barbary War from 1801 to 1805, ending in a treaty that freed American captives and halted tribute. This conflict solidified the U.S. opinion that Islamic law was incompatible with Republican government, which later influenced subsequent restrictions. From 1790, the Naturalization Act excluded most Muslims, while late 19th century rulings like Ex parte Marias, 1894, denied naturalization on religious grounds. The McCarran-Walter Act of 1952 retained ideological bars against those advocating government overthrow or tied to totalitarian ideologies, effectively restricting certain Muslim activists. Enter the Legion of Treason. In 1990, Congress repealed Title II's ideological exclusions via Moynihan Amendment, passing the Senate and signed by President George H.W. Bush, easing short-term visa restrictions but maintaining permanent residency screening. Years later, during the Obama administration, America did a 180, authorizing engagement with nonviolent Islamists like the Muslim Brotherhood. After the Arab Spring, the U.S. cut funding for Egypt's democracy programs but kept giving $1.5 billion a year in military aid. When Morsi was removed in 2013, the U.S. briefly paused the aid, then started it all back up again. After rebels led by former al-Qaeda commander Ahmed al-Sharaa, a.k.a. Abu Muhammad al-Jilani, toppled Assad in December of 2024, the U.S. quickly embraced the change. Biden lifted al-Sharaa's $10 million bounty. The U.S. is now engaging Syria's new leader at the U.N. and with top officials, betting on his promises of elections and stability to counter Iran and ISIS, despite his jihadist past. And despite the overall goal of Islam clearly on the jihadist warpath of global conquest.
We take the jizya from the non-Muslims, the combatants, the enemies of Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We're taking in exchange for your blood, for your life. Do you understand? We're taking in exchange for your blood, for your life.
It is time for us to stop calling Islam a religion. It is a civilization that governs every aspect of your life. And most importantly for us in the U.S., it is a civilization that is duty-bound according to the Quran to install.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, AlexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue, you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while.
If you don't mind, a bottle that fills.
Do you like? Oh, you like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not gonna. You're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, like on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving? Or
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here. In lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I only got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning. Welcome to The American Journal. It feels good to be back in my chair, folks. I want to give my good friend, LK, a shout out for filling in for me yesterday. She did the full 3 hours. That woman is incredible. And then she did her show afterwards, too. So she is a complete powerhouse, and it is an honor to have her as a friend and an ally in this fight. But we're excited that you're all tuning in today. A lot to discuss. It was really hard for me to be on the road traveling and not here in this chair because so much was happening, and I wanted to sound off on all of it. In case you didn't know where I was gone for a day. I was in Fort Lauderdale shooting a podcast with a couple of incredible people. Patrick Bet-David has a podcast for females. It's like a female view, but it's with more of a fair, balanced version of takes. And so that's where I was. I believe it's called Her Take. And that's where I was. So ultimately, I was gone for the day. It's good to be back. That episode will be airing soon. It's not yet been released, but I'll keep you posted. And we'll play some clips on here when it does kick off. But first, I wanted to get to a couple of things. As many of you guys may have woken up to the news, Dick Cheney is dead. He died at the age of 84. It's due to heart complications, something he has been battling for quite some time. So that is the case. The family made the announcement earlier this morning about his passing. And you know what they say, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. So we'll move on from there. Dick Cheney has passed away. Next topic, though, that we have up on the chopping block to discuss today. President Trump has nothing on his books today, on his schedule, I should say. But we do have a White House press briefing later this afternoon that we'll be keeping our eye out for. And obviously, folks, it's Election Day. There's a couple of big elections happening all around the country, especially in New York City. We've got our eyes on that Mazzani versus Cuomo race. I know, you know, Sliwell is on it still. I don't know why, but we will dive into that with Roger Stone. He's jumping on the show today to discuss that because President Trump posting yesterday to Truth Social that don't even waste your time on the Republican candidate. We don't like Andrew Cuomo, but you got to be all in on Cuomo. So we'll be discussing that too as well. So lots happening here. Also, it's important to note, we're going to be playing a clip for you later. It's official. We're removing all mercury from vaccines in the United States, but also we're pushing for it globally. RFK Jr. discussing that and how he's looking to influence those all across the world to remove mercury from their vaccines. So I'll be discussing that in a little bit. But there was also breaking news that happened a little bit earlier in the show, too. Tommy Robinson has been vindicated. We all knew he was going to be. This is great news, folks. Tommy Robinson was just acquitted on that terrorism charge. They were trying to throw terrorism charges on Tommy Robinson. They failed. We are very excited about that. As many of you guys know, I've been reporting on this. Elon Musk actually paid for Tommy Robinson's legal fees when he was in solitary confinement in prison. But even on this charge here, so he's been dishing up a lot of cash for Tommy, and it's been very important. This is a fight worth fighting. Tommy Robinson obviously thrilled by the news. The judge in that case acquitting Tommy, having him stand up in court and then announcing that he's been acquitted, which sent the corporate media over there in the UK into shock, into complete shock. And the judge even saying that Tommy Robinson was unlawfully stopped. Now, folks, that's big news, especially because it's the UK. Tommy Robinson sounded off a bit about the verdict, but most importantly, thanked Elon Musk for all of his support. Take a listen.
Just before, as I'm walking out of court, Elon Musk, I'm forever grateful. If you didn't step in and fund my legal fight for this then I'd probably be in jail. So today, free speech won. In our fight back, the judge gave a damning verdict against them and against their unlawful and their targeted harassment. So thank you, Elon, from me, yeah, personally, thank you.
Well, that is great news, and we are so thrilled for Tommy Robinson. I know that was a stressor for him because obviously they were going after him. And as a journalist, you never give up your cell phone. They were trying their very best, like we've seen here in this country. When they use the Patriot Act to go after people, innocent Americans, they were trying their very best to use their laws to go after Tommy Robinson, to get a peek at his sources. But they failed. They failed. And that's the great news there. So congratulations for Tommy Robinson and for all of those who have been fighting the long battle in the UK for free speech, for free press. This is a major victory for them over there. And we are excited to see just that. It's at least one of the good stories we cover these days over in the UK. I want to turn things over to the elections that are going on all across the country right now, because there's a couple of big ones, obviously New Jersey, Virginia, and in New York City. New York City obviously going to be life-changing for many. We'll discuss that, like I said, with Roger Stone later on in the program. But when it comes to the election in Virginia, it's a big one. It is a massive one as well. And it's not looking good for Republicans. Mark Mitchell also going to join us later in the show from Rasmussen Reports to give us his perspective on a lot of that. But it's not looking good. It just isn't. We want to play clip two for you because it's Stephen Miller, and he's weighing in on today's elections. Take a listen.
You said tonight, Sean, is obviously all about turnout. Republican voters need to show up. They need to turn out. Regardless of what happens in New Jersey, that is a stunningly close race for a deep blue state. As far as New York is concerned, as you've talked about, as we've said, unfortunately, the anti-Mamdani vote is being split between Cuomo and Sliwa. And President Trump tonight put out a statement being clear that if you vote for Sliwa, who's polling at about a third of where Cuomo is, you're just throwing your vote away. The anti-Mamdani vote, which is really the pro-New York City vote, the pro-America vote, needs to unite behind the leading candidate, and that's Andrew Cuomo. Now, Virginia, of course, has become over time a very blue state for a lot of reasons. Part of it, of course, is years of open borders. Another big reason is the concentration of the Democrat workforce in the huge growing bureaucracy that is Washington, D.C., in North Virginia. But this race has been crystallized, and it relates to what you first asked me about, by Jay Jones, the Democrat candidate for attorney general, openly fantasizing about the murder of his political opponents and their children, fantasizing about their pain, their suffering, their heartache. This is a referendum on Jay Jones and the ideology of murder that has become too prevalent amongst the extreme left in this country.
Yeah, and he's got a point there. And the reality of it is we'll see how things pan out in Virginia, but they are a bunch of Trump-hating individuals there, we'll say. And it's just not looking good. It's not looking good. I was watching a lot of these candidates campaign, and they were literally just running as if they were running against President Trump. That's all that they have in this fight. So again, this is what's going on all across the country today. I don't think it's going to be a massive victory for Republicans. It's not looking too good for them. I even saw today on Truth Social, President Trump also posting on Truth that he thinks that if we don't get rid of the filibuster, and we'll talk about this later on the show, if we don't get rid of the filibuster, that Republicans are just going to lose across the board, whether it's the midterm elections and the presidency, the presidential elections. So he just posted that moments ago. Again, we'll dive into that throughout the show today, but he's advocating for us to just completely get rid and terminate the filibuster at this point. He says Democrats are going to do it soon. So we will see. We will discuss that in just a little bit. But I also wanted to talk a little bit about what happened yesterday in court. The Department of Justice urged a federal judge yesterday to reject James Comey's claim that his prosecution amounts to political retribution, arguing that the former FBI director has failed to show that he's being targeted as punishment for his criticisms of the Republican president. That's what he claimed in court. Now, they are not trying to allow that to happen, obviously. It is not a political hit job like he'll try to describe it to be. It is one that is warranted. And it's one that has countless pieces of evidence. Now, here's the interesting part in all of this. Comey is expected to work for, this is what he thought he was going to do. He's expected to work for the president-elect Clinton. Yes. And we all know this because of the emails that are coming out. Emails have been pouring out. We've got, like, let's just take a look at Exhibit 5. This is the one where I'm specifically talking about. In this email, talks about having to reconcile with President-elect Clinton. No, seriously, folks, this is what we have found in writing. I mean, this is what's being pushed forward. This guy is an absolute dirtbag. When we sit here, we talk about how he was politically motivated, how he is working against the American people. We mean that. We mean that. And so, again, while he sits there and claims to be victim in all of this, the reality is he is not the victim. He is not the victim in this. Let's turn to Exhibit 7, this also being really interesting. In response to planting a New York Times Election Eve hit piece against Trump, then FBI Director James Comey tells the FBI special government employee Daniel Richmond, "Well done, my friend. Well done." Huh. He's just innocent. He's just being persecuted. That's what he's claiming. But there's more evidence that he is full of you-know-what. Take a look at Exhibit 13. FBI Director Comey is a handwritten note on FBI Director letterhead is more evidence acknowledging that Comey was a part of the Russian collusion criminal conspiracy against Trump. He acknowledges the information that he had in all of this. In this little, and it has a letterhead on it, in this little handwritten note. Now, the Justice Department defends that Trump's post, which urged, so Trump's post is, and this is, actually might get the president in trouble, folks, because the reality of it is I know President Trump has been posting a lot on social media about it, and they're using this against him. So this is article specifically is about that. The Justice Department defends Trump's post as it urges judge to reject Comey's efforts to dismiss the case. Again, he is trying to use those posts online. Prosecutors defended President Trump's September social media posts, demanding that action be taken in the Comey investigation. So again, the DOJ is just defending President Trump's right to free speech to utilize his platform to broadcast whatever message he wants. It doesn't mean necessarily that there's an issue here. Now, again, this is something that's very serious, and obviously we're waiting for it to develop further. But James Comey wants out. He wants these charges dropped. They're not getting dropped anytime soon. We know this because there's no reason to drop them. There's absolutely not. These are actually the bare minimum of charges. So he should be thankful that this is all he's been charged with thus far. We know he's committed real crimes. In our opinion, he has committed more treasonous crimes than what you've just seen outlined in those emails and those letters. So one would think that James Comey would not be sitting here and pretending to be innocent, because he's not. In our opinion, this man is guilty of treason. In my opinion, I should say. I would assume the rest of us here all feel that same way. So we'll continue to watch this and follow it as it unravels. I wanted to turn, and we're going to do a deep dive in a little bit with Ken Silva on this front. But I wanted to talk a little bit about that ISIS-inspired terrorist attack. This is what the FBI is alleging. They're alleging that a group of individuals got together and they were conspiring to carry out a terrorist plot that was inspired by ISIS on Halloween. Now, I've sifted through a lot of the court documents, and you'll never guess what I found. It looks like potentially, we've got it here on my desk, it looks like potentially that they were actually looking to possibly carry out this terror attack at a couple of bars in the area. Now, if you're wondering what kind of bars they visited to figure out what kind of place they'd like to shoot up, many of the clubs and bars in the area intentionally attract members of the LGBTQ+ community. Huh. I thought Islam was welcoming of all of that. So again, we're still learning more about this, and we're going to bring in Ken to talk us through it, because we only know two names. I know that there's one individual who's wrapped up in this who is a minor, and so that we will not get their criminal complaint. They will remain anonymous because apparently they are not over the age of 18, which is unfortunate. But also, it's important to go over, and we'll do it with Ken too, what they've been charged with. Now, a lot of this is, and as you see, these are the images of these individuals who have made these purchases. These are the individuals who are named and who are over the age of 18. But in this criminal complaint, they are talking about going to Syria, going to Turkey. It's all outlined here. And as far as I can tell, there's about 10 people listed in this. We don't get names, though. We just get numbers. And we don't know how many of those individuals, these co-conspirators, were people who are individuals who are FBI informants. We do know that there was somebody who was in these chats, who was on these calls, who was recording for the FBI. We know that. We don't know how many of the FBI informants were involved in this. And the other reason why I keep saying that is, again, this is Michigan. Keep in mind, the Governor Whitmer kidnapping hoax was heavily relied on by more individuals who worked on behalf of the FBI than actual individuals who wanted to kidnap Governor Whitmer. But so far, based on this complaint, it seems relatively fair, but there's still a lot of unknown factors. Ken will be joining me to discuss. Also, the charges here aren't as stiff as one would think. So we'll go over that too as well. I want to turn to breaking news that happened yesterday. Guess who's also going to be joining me over in the Pentagon as a member of the media press pool? Did you guess? Laura Loomer. According to the Washington Post, she has received credentials and she will be joining me to cover the Pentagon, which, as many of you guys know, I look forward to. Now, all of the liberal hacks of the corporate media who disguise themselves as journalists, they're not very happy about this. No, 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 they're not. In fact, several of them have reached out to me for comment, asking me to jump on phone calls with them. And I will not get on phone calls with them because they're leeches. So instead, I tell them to forward me their questions and I'm respectful. And I just, you know, answer the questions respectfully. And I did for the New York Times. The Guardian reached out for comments, asked me to jump on a call with them. I refused. I just said, you know, just send me your questions here. I don't have time to jump on a call with you, which is true. I don't. They did not. But the New York Times did. And then he asked me follow-up questions. And it's very clear that he's a loser. And he is working on a hit piece, I guess, try to discredit us. I don't know. But again, it is good to see that we are coming up with a bunch of great journalists, people who could actually spread the message with what's going on in the Pentagon. Because when you go through their Twitter accounts, the people who were targeting me just last week, you notice that there's a consistent factor here, and it's the fact that they don't have a following. Now, it's not as superficial as one would think is what I'm arguing here. I'm not telling you that I think it's just because you don't have followers on X that you shouldn't be able to get let into the room. I'm simply saying that there is a massive effort to make it seem like these mainstream media outlets have some type of audience, some type of authority, but they don't. They don't. How do I know this? When I look at the journalists who are talking junk about me, they've got about 10,000, 15,000 followers, and they've been covering the Pentagon for years now. Now, what the heck would the Pentagon be doing allowing people who can't even attract an audience into the press pool? Does anyone know? Well, they don't know either. And they continue to target people like Laura Loomer. I'm sure that's going to leave them very unhinged. They're not going to be happy about that. And others who are going to be making their way in. But the reality is we have an audience. And you don't. And you don't. So it's good to see that Laura Loomer is going to be let into the room as well. We look forward to that. I look forward to being able to sit next to her in the press conferences because she is a fireball. We look forward to having that as well. Maybe even getting her on the show. I have a plan in place when we have our first press conference in DC. So I look forward to carrying that through. Folks, I also want to talk about something else that happened over the weekend. You know, I was driving, I think it was Friday, and President Trump posted on Truth Social about Nigeria. And I was completely shocked because for many years, we rarely hear politicians call out what's happening in Nigeria. What's happening in Nigeria is genocide. It's actual genocide. And because it's involving Jews, we rarely hear about it. And so that is the problem I've always had with this, because this has been going on for many, many years. Whenever Islamic terrorists are out there conducting terrorist attacks, genocide, nobody wants to talk about it. They, in fact, will skip over the word Islam. We see it time and time again with the FBI director, Cash Patel. He refuses to say the word Islam. But thankfully, President Trump isn't that way. Now, President Trump did, back in his first term, talk about the genocide happening to Nigerians, Christian Nigerians, at the hands of Islamic terrorists. And it didn't really go anywhere, but now it looks like we have some more movement on this. We're going to take a listen to clip three, because clip three is claiming that after President Trump took to Truth Social and started calling out the Nigerian government for allowing Christians in their country to be slaughtered by Islamic terrorists, well, all of a sudden, according to Fox, there's been some movement by the Nigerian government, which denies that this is even happening in the first place. Take a listen to clip three.
Weekend, and he weighed in very strongly, talking about not just economic aid, but potential for American military involvement in Nigeria. Do you think that's necessary? Do you like hearing that from the president?
I like hearing it from the president that he's willing to do it. I don't think it's going to come to that. In fact, from my people on the ground, I'm already hearing that the Nigerian government is starting to snap in line and start to take action against some of these terrorist forces.
What have you heard? What are they doing?
They're now reporting that they've arrested terrorists, that there are arrests happening, that there are countering some of these groups, the Fulani militias, the Boko Harams, the Islamic State of the West African Province, and they're pushing back against them, and they're putting it out, and they're wanting people to know, hey, we're taking action. And so my prayer is that continues to happen, that we'll see that kind of response from the Nigerian government without us having to take any action.
Okay, sounds good. Again, it's Nigerian government, so I don't know how much truth would be in that. But again, why have they been waiting on the sidelines for years? I mean, years these people have been going out there and slaughtering Christians and raping their women, and no one has stepped in on any of this. We know this. Well, I know this because years ago, I was watching a Lara Logan documentary on Fox Nation, and she went through it and she detailed it. She had Nigerians on, and she walked the audience through what's been going on in Nigeria, and she's been doing just that for years now. So it's good to hear that they're finally potentially getting involved in all of this, but what the heck took this long? I would just say that enough is enough. And President Trump doesn't even need boots on the ground. I mean, we're not talking about a well-sophisticated group of individuals. These are animals. These are animals. They don't have the technology to be able to take on our forces. And so you wouldn't even have to put boots on the ground to handle this issue. Again, we'll sit back and watch and see how this all unravels. I am, though, optimistic that something will happen relatively soon. Now, again, I want to play this clip because it's really important. Clip 4, President Trump specifically addressing what's been going on in Nigeria and why he's had enough. Take a listen.
Killing record numbers of Christians in Nigeria. And they have other countries very bad also. You know that. That part of the world very bad. They're killing the Christians and killing them in very large numbers. I'm not going to allow that to happen.
Again, good to hear from the President of the United States. I want to remind our audience, though, the mainstream media hasn't caught on to this genocide, again, because it involves Christians. They don't look at any of this. They actually turn their heads because they don't want to address the fact that Christians are being slaughtered in Nigeria. Take a look at the CNN headline, of course. CNN is claiming that President Trump just got on this issue because he saw a piece on Fox News. I mean, seriously, folks, this is what's going on over at CNN. Not surprising, CNN saying both Christians and Muslims have been victims of attacks by radical Islamists in the country. If they're talking about Sudan, that makes sense. Nigeria, though, doesn't make much in the way of sense. Again, President Trump was talking about this in his first term, but there was no actual action that followed up with all of this. Again, not surprising that they continue to deny this. But again, let's take a look at CNN in clip 5 and take a listen to what they're specifically saying, because they don't like the fact that President Trump is going after Islamic terrorists. Take a listen.
All right. New this morning. President Trump is leaving open the possibility of U.S. military action in Nigeria as he accused the nation of not stemming violence against Christians there. The president has asked the Defense Department to prepare options that could include troops on the ground or airstrikes. The situation on the ground, however, is far from straightforward. Violence in Nigeria does affect Christians, but also Muslims, and is driven by religious, ethnic, and resource-based tensions in that country. Joining me now, Fareed Zakaria, host of Fareed Zakaria GPS on CNN. He also has a new book, Age of Revolutions, releases in paperback tomorrow. Make sure to get your copy.
Folks, I'll step in on this one. They're full of it. They're lying to you. There, in fact, is a big issue with this. They're trying to make it seem like Muslims are the victims in all of this. No. Their fellow Islamic terrorists have been leading these types of attacks for quite some time now, and there's very little pushback that's done by the Nigerian government. They've allowed it to carry on for far too long. And we're not going to sit here and allow them to pretend like this is just happening to both sides, because it's not. Folks, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We have our 25% off site-wide sale going on right now. We're kicking off Black Friday and Cyber Monday early, I might say. So head on over to the shop right now and snag some great deals.
You can judge a man by the enemies he dares to defy. He stands against those who would chain the voice of freedom, battling shadowy forces that seek to silence truth. He rises against those who would disarm the people, a lone sentinel guarding the rights of the many. Through the fire of unjust legal warfare, he fights. Not for himself, but for those who cannot. Stripped of wealth, betrayed by systems, yet driven by an unyielding hunger for justice. On the altar of truth, he swears an oath, enduring relentless assaults, slander, schemes, and ceaseless attacks.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
InfoWars is shutting down.
But he remains unbroken, unbowed, unstoppable. His enemies thought they could crush him, thought they could bury his resolve. They were wrong. From the ashes of their lies, he rises stronger, a beacon of defiance in a world of shadows. His enemies reveal his strength, his courage, his heart. But this fight is not his alone. It belongs to every soul who yearns for truth, who dares to stand tall. Will you join him? Will you rise against the tide of tyranny? For a man is not defined by the enemies he faces, but by the fire he carries within. Stand with him. Fight for truth. The battle begins now.
Forged in the fires of liberty, the Alex Jones Network Live app stormed to number one in Apple's trending news apps. Big tech tried to bury it, but freedom's flame can't be extinguished. AJN Live delivers raw truth, uncensored broadcasts, hard-hitting reports, and live alerts the elites dread. Don't let censorship win. Download now. Stand tall. Join the fight. AJN Live, forged by liberty, powered by truth.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen, and it's available right now exclusively, limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never been prouder of a product launch than I am of this. I really had a heavy hand in this.
And so we put this together as both the methylene blue super enhancer, especially with the cognitive focus benefits, the mitochondria empowerment, and the brain dropping off an extra electron for the brain cells. But it's also an incredible standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. It's even got the CoQ10 in it, of course, which is huge. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement. I'm very proud that we launched it. I'm very proud that it's our second tincture on the market. And when I'm looking through these studies, I mean, here are the benefits that are listed. Migraine prevention, cardiovascular help, cellular protection. We've got neurotransmitter synthesis and mood helps. People with depression, according to these studies that I've looked at here. Even energy and fatigue reduction, more cardio production, cognitive support, mood cognition, endothelial function. I mean, it goes on and on. Nerve regeneration, cognitive and mood support.
Everything we sell is the most insanely powerful, best thing we can come up with because this is what we take. So that's why everybody just raves and raves and raves about the products at thealexjonesstore.com.
In times uncertain of what the future holds, when cameras see everything and silence speaks louder than words, you'll need more than just awareness. You'll need focus. You'll need power. Fuel your mind. Energize your body. Stay sharp in the age of control with Methylene Blue from thealexjonesstore.com. Because no matter how advanced the system becomes, your energy is your freedom.
American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot going on all around the world, but mainly it's election day. And so a lot is happening at the polls in very, very interesting areas. New Jersey, Virginia, and New York City are where we have our eyes on. We wanted to shift things over to New Jersey because we want to just point your attention to this. There was just recently a non-credible bomb threat that temporarily halted voting in northern New Jersey. It has since been dismissed. Apparently it came in via email, this threat that coming to us from the New Jersey Attorney General's office, stating that law enforcement responded to the threats that were received by email in multiple counties, and that while polling locations have already reopened at some, at other, voters will be directed to a nearby polling location to cast their ballot. Now, again, folks, it's interesting. I'll just highlight this point. These threats come from foreign countries looking to kind of stir up political tensions here in the United States, but most importantly, looking to stop people from going out to vote. So just note, if it's coming in via email, it's probably not legit, and it's probably being sent to by someone in just a foreign country. So there's a lot of countries, too. I could go to the list, but there's a lot of foreign countries looking to do just that. And the dark web is a hellhole, so don't take these things seriously when it comes to going out to vote. I can promise you it's probably not a legitimate threat if they're sending it through an email. So don't allow them to stop you from going out and voting. It's good that law enforcement takes it seriously, but for the rest of us, I would just pay attention, obviously, but also make sure you vote. Okay, I want to shift gears a little bit because over the weekend, I caused quite the firestorm when I launched my I Stand With Tucker Carlson movement. I think I was the very first person to go out and put up the post that simply had five words on it. I stand with Tucker Carlson. Well, those in the unhinged world, as you can see on your screen here, weren't very happy about this post. In fact, I was called, as you could see here, someone who stands with Sharia law, Maduro, Qatar, and Nazism. Thank you, Jamie. Obviously, if you've watched this show, you know I actually advocate for the show, for Sharia law. Yeah, I spent about 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, telling you about the dangers of Islam. So it only makes sense to sit here and say that I support Sharia law. No, you idiot. See, these are the types of things that only take place, and we thought on the left, but just amongst low IQ individuals. Jamie, not very bright. She thought she'd come swinging at me. Didn't really have a rebuttal when I simply just questioned why she'd even say such a thing. Because if you follow my work again, I am very, very obviously against the jihad takeover going on right now. But for some reason, you can't sit here and advocate for free speech. Tucker Carlson shouldn't have a platform. That's what they think. Although they'll tell you, oh, no, we're not advocating to deplatform him. We're just saying that we shouldn't be, what, platforming him? We shouldn't be giving him the platform to share his content wherever he wants to? Folks, he sat down with Nick Fuentes and did an interview. And if you didn't listen to the interview, and it sounds like so many people didn't, you probably think that it was a horrible interview that was just filled with white supremacy or whatever nonsense you want to talk about. But the reality is I listened to it. It was a good interview. Some people just can't handle a diverse group of opinions. You don't have to agree with what Nick Fuentes says, but to sit here and to think that you are superior and you're the one that gets to dictate free speech, well, that's absolute garbage. Folks, if Nick Fuentes was unable to have thoughts that are pop or not even popular, but if Nick Fuentes was unable to come out and get on a show like you saw with Tucker Carlson and to have these discussions, and you truly believe that he shouldn't have these, debate him. Because I rarely see that Nick Fuentes turns down any type of opportunity to speak to someone who disagrees with him. But the problem is people like Jamie just aren't intelligent enough to have that debate. Instead, they'll say, oh, I'm not going to give him a platform. She can't give him a platform. Nick Fuentes has over, what, 1 million followers on X? She's at barely 100,000. The level of unhinged is off the charts with that woman. You know, for many, many times now, I've been told, you know, she's doing good work for kids. You notice also she changed her X name, Jamie USA, because when you're advocating aggressively for another country, you have to pretend like there's some level of patriotism behind it. And again, that's what she's doing. It used to be Gays Against Groomers, but it since has changed. And the reality is that Tucker Carlson gave her a platform, and she acknowledges that in her post. I specifically asked her if she's even called Tucker to have a personal conversation before you go after him on social media, because that's what us human beings do. We reach out to people over the phone, and we have a conversation before we attack them publicly. Now, again, she acknowledged that he has given her a platform several times to make her case about protecting children against the LGBT propaganda. And for some reason, once there was a cancel culture movement for Tucker, she jumped on board. Now, again, it's not just Jamie. That was the easy one to pull for since that was the top of the tweet. There's others who are doing just that. But we've had enough of it. You know, we sat here, we watched as they used any type of excuse to go after other conservatives who they just simply didn't like what they had to say. And then we watched that that net, it got much wider of who we had to stop from speaking out on certain issues. Thankfully, I'm not alone, though. Alex Jones also standing with Tucker. Obviously, as many of you guys know, that's him and Rob Dew. The two of them are obviously good friends. They're both fighters in this battle, whether you agree with what they say or not. We are all sitting here and advocating for what we believe will save this country. And so I don't care what Tucker Carlson says, because guess what? It doesn't mean that we should cancel him. It does not mean that. And what are you canceling him for? He owns his own platform, you morons. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to pull funding from him? Folks, this is what they do. They do this all the time. And we are constantly critical of those on the left when they go after those on the right and they try to cancel them. But the reality of it is we have people who claim to be Republicans, claim to be MAGA, going out there and trying to silence those who they disagree with. Of course I don't want Sharia law. That's not even... And anyone who sits there and tells you that we're advocating for Sharia law in this country isn't, first off, a moron, but also hasn't read the Constitution, because it's already illegal. And Randy Fine, I can't take him seriously, folks. I can't even play the sound bites, because when I see him physically speak at a podium, and he is much wider than the podium, I can't take that man seriously. He's not a credible person. He's just not. He's just not. Again, I don't even pick sides in this battle when it comes to Israel, Gaza. I usually pretty much go down the middle on this front. It's actually interesting. The podcast I was on yesterday, I was sitting in the middle. It got very heated. But of course, folks, these people are trying their very best to divide us. Don't take the bait. You could have a difference in opinion without calling to completely annihilate someone who doesn't agree with you. Now we're going to play clip six for you, because Tucker issued an apology yesterday, a bit of an apology. And I don't know, it's worth just listening and understanding where he's coming from in all of this. Take a listen.
But I just want to say at the outset, because this has been weighing on me, I did say something that I really regret saying that I didn't fully mean. I said it because I was mad, which is always right. When I say things I don't really mean, when I get pissed, my wife's always telling me this, I was snippy and I didn't explain it. And I said something to the effect of, I despise Christian Zionists. And I'm just sorry that I said that, because I don't. I'm mad at a certain kind of thinking. Some of the nicest people I know are Christian Zionists, actually. You know, if you're in a car crash, they would save you. If you need someone to watch your bank account, they wouldn't steal from you. They're like really good people and sweet people. I want to be very specific quickly about what I was talking about. In at least a couple of different occasions, the Israeli government bombed churches in Gaza and killed a bunch of Christians. And not an accident, of course. I mean, this is like a very high-tech military with precision. I mean, they, you know, gave pagers with bombs in them to Hezbollah. So like this is a military, a national defense institution that understands what it's doing. They didn't accidentally bomb two churches and kill these Christians, and they never apologized for it. And so I brought this up with a couple of Christian leaders, and including the Speaker of the House, and said, like, what is, you know, how can, what, we're paying to bomb churches? Because we're paying for it. And the response I got from every single one was, the Bible commands us to support Israel. And I said, so Jesus is telling us that we need to get on board with murdering Christians? Is that what you're saying? And they basically were just like, shut up. And I found that extremely, as a Christian, extremely upsetting. And I've never kind of gotten over that, but I should have said that. That's what I was talking about specifically. We cannot support the murder of innocents. I don't care what the pretext is. That is not allowed in our religion. And if it is, then it's not my religion. That's not what the New Testament says at all. It's not even a close approximation of what it says. There's no justification for that in the New Testament, period. So I am distressed. I don't hate. I shouldn't have said despise. But I'm very distressed about that. And that's specifically what I was talking about. So I just want to apologize sincerely for not being clearer.
It was good to hear Tucker Carlson detail that for us. We all make slips, folks. Get over it. He's not a bad person. He's a good person. He is doing his very best because he believes that his stance will save this country. And, you know, we're all allowed to have disagreements, but I think that it's absolutely outrageous for people to be calling for him to be canceled because he's just simply don't agree with what he had to say. Again, this is like an argument where people just become too emotional and they can't sit down and have a legitimate conversation on this front. And we hear it all the time, obviously. I see your messages. We take the calls, and, you know, people really want to stir this pot up. But the reality of it is we're all just trying to do our very best to save this country. And I believe truly and wholly that that is what Tucker Carlson is doing to save this country. Folks, let's talk a little bit about congestion pricing, because President Trump's been sounding off on Truth Social about a lot of things. And this has been the big one. And I think it's very fascinating, because if you aren't familiar with New York politics, let me give you a little brief summary of what happened here. During Andrew Cuomo's time in Albany running the government, he decided to push congestion pricing into legislation and suspending bills. And they waited, of course, for it to be activated after their very major elections. And so in New York right now, they are dealing with insane prices. And what congestion pricing means, if you're not familiar with it, is if you drive down certain streets in New York City, you're going to be paying a toll. And it's not a cheap toll. It's a very expensive toll. We used to have free bridges in New York City. There are no longer any free bridges. I used to, as someone who was entry level, trying her very best to work and to make a living, would have to take the longer routes to those free bridges to save $14 a day in tolls because it was very pricey. And New York Democrats took that away from us. But you know, President Trump has had enough of it, and he's calling it out. He called it out on Truth Social, saying Governor Kathy Hochul of New York State is killing the entire region with energy prices that are out of control and expected to triple because she can't get an upstate and separate Long Island pipeline built. So she's talking about the pipeline. Specifically, he also calls out congestion pricing. New York City is getting killed by her ridiculous congestion pricing, where people have to pay a fortune to come into Manhattan. That's on top of paying the bridges. So you just don't go there anymore. The place is a ghost town. He then adds, I'm going to ask our transportation secretary, Sean Duffy, to take a good look at terminating New York City congestion pricing. The entire state is going to hell. So the federal government will get involved. Again, folks, this is what's going on right now. President Trump trying his very best to sound off on these issues. And it's very important that he does just that. Congestion pricing is killing New Yorkers. And so many, and it's so frustrating, because again, it highlights the failures within our public school education system. Those who live in New York City are like, oh, I don't drive. I take the subway around. Oh, honey, what do you think happens when your trucks come in with all their food that you're buying? Food prices go up because they're not going to absorb the cost. They pass those costs on to you. So in fact, you are paying those prices. You see, the ignorant voters in New York City, which I'm so devastated by, they are sadly going to destroy this city. And we're learning just that. We are seeing just that. Zohran Mamdani's election today, if he wins, and it looks like he might, will be devastating. It is very prime time for those jihadist communists who have decided to come together to take over the West. Capturing New York City is a massive victory for them. And even those who have been very far on the left side of all of this, they are very, very scared. The fact that Republicans are coming together to reject the Republican candidate is insane. And President Trump, I just got another update. Seconds ago, just posted again about Zohran Mamdani. He said he was going to stay out of this election. He's not staying out of this election. Any Jewish person that votes for Zohran Mamdani, a proven and self-professed Jew hater, is a stupid person. That coming from the president of the United States. Well said. I mean, it's so crazy. You know, we talked about it at the beginning of the show, obviously, folks. You remember. You guys are great. Thanks for getting that up fast. Our control room is one of the best of the best. But the interesting angle to all of this, folks, is we keep talking about it, but these people on the left don't even understand what they're actually voting for, what they're actually supporting. I mean, they're so ignorant, and you kind of feel bad for them a little bit. And I know we joke constantly, we're constantly putting up the chickens for KFC because that's how dumb these people are, but they are really, really stupid. I mean, really, really stupid. So President Trump doing his very best to go out there and to try to save New York. It might be too late. It might be too late. You know, what really ticks me off, and I get it. Republican candidate, you have a right to run for office if you want to. He won his primary. But when you look at the polling numbers, and if you truly love New York City, Curtis Lee will also just drop out. One would have hoped, but he didn't. Because he thinks that he could stay in the race. He can't. The numbers aren't on his side. But again, he does have a right to be there. And I know some people are saying, oh, no, he shouldn't drop out. If you want to save New York City, sadly, you have to go with Andrew Cuomo. Yes, they're two communists. I don't like either of them. I've spent years going after Andrew Cuomo, but the reality of it is a jihadist who was plotted to take over New York City back in 2014, according to his own campaign director, made his way to New York City, then got citizenship in 2018. And here we are. So again, I'm so tired of all of this. When we sit here and we talk about this, and you know, people obviously feel their ways about this, we have to save this country. And if it means that we have to back Andrew Cuomo, I don't like it. But guess what? Here we are. The New York Republican Party as a whole, I mean, when they were too busy figuring out the tech scandal, remember when they were the group chat with all the young Republicans in it, it was so outrageous. New York Republicans jumped on getting on that and disassociating themselves with the group. Well, now it's just laughable. I just don't know what to think of it anymore, folks. I don't know what to think of it anymore. I've had enough of this. It's just really depressing to sit on the outskirts of all of this and watch it come together. This was a plot. We've been trying to sound the alarm on this for quite some time now. And sadly, many didn't realize it. And so here we are trying to figure this out. We're trying to sift our way through it. And thankfully, President Trump weighing in on this election. But again, I don't think you could save it. I think that they hate President Trump more than they love this country, these people. And I think that they will do the exact opposite of what President Trump says. And that's why I was always an advocate for President Trump, just not jumping in this one. So again, we'll keep following that. Roger Stone joining the show later today to discuss. I also wanted to jump on a couple of other things. Let's talk about this. Congressman Thomas Massie, you might have seen the story. Congressman Thomas Massie is making headlines these days because, number one, he's feuding with President Trump. He's not voting for MAGA-like policies, and it ticks off a lot. President Trump is looking to replace him, and he's decided to do just that. He took the Truth Social to make the announcement of Massie's replacement, who he's going to be backing. Ed Gallarin, take a look at this. He calls Thomas Massie a third-rate congressman, a weak, pathetic rhino. And again, time and time again, you know, Massie, I don't hate the guy, but I will say he stands in the way. And he's also a little bit of a coward, because I've repeatedly tried to get him on both this show and my own podcast. And although his office is very nice and polite, he continues to reject my invitations. Why? I don't know. Probably doesn't want to get asked tough questions. I probably made at least 10 attempts. At least. But now President Trump is backing someone who he is highlighting as a good person, a brave combat veteran. Ed, obviously, he says, is someone who is very wise. He has courage. And he believes that he will help create American jobs. So again, President Trump weighing in on all things related to that, also saying that he only votes against the Republican Party, making life very easy for the radical left. We're referring to Massie now. This was controversial, and I'm not going to really, I don't know how to feel about this. My gut tells me it's wrong, but I've never been in this type of situation. But Thomas Massie got remarried. He made the announcement on X. As many of you guys know, he was married for over 3 decades to a woman who passed away about 14 months ago. And he has since remarried to this woman you see in your screen. Now, again, I mean, I think love is great and all of his kids are grown, so it's a different element there. But I don't know. My gut just tells me that it's wrong. And probably, I don't know his wife either, or his ex-wife, or his deceased wife, I should say. Sorry, it's my version of Monday. I don't know her. Maybe this is what she would have wanted, for him to go back into a marriage and be happy, but I don't know how I feel about this. 14 months is kind of rough. It's a rough turnaround. And the joke, of course, we didn't see it coming, but it was funny during our otherwise serious ceremony. The pastor apparently congratulated Caroline, his new wife, on getting Mr. No to finally say yes. I thought that was pretty funny.
For the second time.
It's such an awkward situation. I don't know how I'd feel about it. Like, I don't want to pass judgments. because, you know, obviously I've never been in that situation, so I don't know how one handles it. When you've been with someone for 3 decades, you just probably love love. You probably love sharing your life with someone. But man, that's really rough. That's really, really rough. Okay, President Trump obviously is advocating, we talked about in the show, for nuking the filibuster. He wants it gone. He wants it gone. And it's not just him, too. Now we're hearing others talk about it. We'll also play the MTG soundbite from this show because it caused quite the stir online. But I want to get to clip 7 first, because Congressman Byron Donalds says that the Senate GOP must get rid of the filibuster at this point because Democrats don't even want to come to the table. Take a listen.
And because Senate Democrats would rather still go down this socialist line of spending too much money, which is going to decrease purchasing power for the American people. This is why I agree with President Trump calling for an end to the filibuster, because the filibuster does not promote debate in the Senate. What it does is it promotes obstruction in the Senate. Let's not even talk about the economy. Talk about the visas right now, HB1 visas. These are a scam on American workers. American workers have been displaced because of these HB1 visas. It needs to end. But are you going to get reforms to all the visa programs in the United States without being able to get it through the United States Senate? No, you will not. You need to be able to work with people who want to do the right thing on behalf of the American people. The Democrats have proven time and again they only want their radical agenda, and if they don't get their way, they're going to follow Chuck Schumer and just shut the government down. This is not working for the American people. That's why they're frustrated. They want costs down. They want opportunity. They want freedom. And you're not getting that with arcane rules in the United States Senate that don't allow the Senate to work and represent the will of the American people.
All right, he's spot on there. And it caused quite the stir online. I want to play a little bit of the clip and then I'll jump in on this. But Marjorie Taylor Greene also was the original one, I should say, who was calling for the end of the filibuster. She did so on this show, and it really sent the mainstream media into a bit of a fury because they thought she was going after President Trump, but they're misrepresenting what she said in clip 8. Take a listen. Where do you stand on that issue?
I just posted about it this morning, and I'm so thankful that you brought this up. Here's the situation as I see it. We passed a CR, which is something I did not want to vote for. The CR is a Biden-Schumer budget. I am largely opposed to CRs. I am extremely vocal about it in my conference, and I want Republicans in the House and the Senate to do the job the American people gave us. We need to be passing our own appropriations. That is extremely important, and that is the bill that we need to send to the president's desk. So right now, this shutdown is a big political fight and drama, but it doesn't have to be happening. The Senate can use the nuclear option and override the 60-vote rule. They can pass the CR with a simple majority. And the reason why that is important to do is because just the clip that you just showed about WIC, these are single moms that, you know, people have hit hard times
over the past
4 years.
I want to step in on this because we're about to hit a hard break, but it's true. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is correct. Also, President Trump just tweeting out terminate the filibuster just seconds ago. Again, I think he's watching this show because he seems to be lined up with all of our segments today. Don't go anywhere, folks. We got more to unpack in just a few moments. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, 25% off right now.
Now, I'm backed by you, the listeners and viewers, and we're in major legal battles, trying to shut us down, ongoing, set up the new network, all of it. When you go to thealexjonesstore.com, I don't own that. That's our sponsor that funds InfoWars and the Alex Jones Network. It is critical to buy the products there. Plus, I'm only going to sell you stuff that really works. We're about to sell out probably today in the Ultra Methylene Red, first run that complements the Methylene Blue. It is an incredible formula, so good for you. Takes about an hour to kick in. The Methylene Blue takes about 30 minutes. It is not a stimulant, but it feels like one. This is so clean. The clarity is so amazing. Both these products are insanely good. Take advantage of the sale right now. Sign up for auto ship, cancel any time, and get your future order at 50% off, including your first order, even though it's about to sell out. TheAlexJonesStore.com is unleashing an entire month of Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega deals, but each deal only runs for a few days. 30 straight days of freedom-fighting discounts that are absolutely empowering your body, your focus, your clarity, your health, and our operation. All you got to do is take action and try them. We have an 80%+ reorder on things like Methylene Blue. Nobody has that. That's how good these work. Right now, get 25% off site-wide on top of all of the other big sales. That's every supplement like Ultra Methylene Red, Life Force, every shirt, hat, and hoodie, /25% off while supplies last. But I'm warning you, this could end at any moment. midnight tonight, noon tomorrow. Nobody knows because it's all about how fast the sales come in. Take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
There is a disturbance in the force. I feel the presence of an invader.
That's right, Vader. I'm taking this methylene red to make it available for everyone at TheAlexJonesStore.com.